Chapter 9. Towards Multi-Agent Systems. Building agents that can act effectively for humans provided yet another way of thinking about AI, but also raised an interesting question. The Turing test established the idea that the goal of AI was to produce behaviour that was the same as that of humans. But if we want agents to act and do the best for us, it is not important whether they make the same choices as us, simply that they make the best choices possible. So the goal of AI began to change from building agents that make human choices to agents that make the best choices. The theory behind this, called optimal decision-making, goes back to the 1940s and the important work of John von Neumann and Oscar Morgenstern in developing a mathematical theory of rational or logical decision-making. In agent-based AI, the idea was that the agent would use their theory to make the best or optimal decisions for you. The starting point of their theory is your preferences. If your agent is to act for you, then it needs to know what you want. You then need the agent to act to deliver your preferred choices as best it can. So, how do we give an agent our preferences? Suppose your agent has to choose between getting an apple, orange, or pear. If your agent is going to do its best for you, then it needs to know your desires. For example, your preferences might be: oranges are preferred to pears. Pears are preferred to apples. In this case, if your agent were given a choice between an apple and an orange, and chose an orange, you would be happy. If it gave you an apple, you would be disappointed. This is a simple example of a preference relation, which describes how you grade every pair of different results. Von Neumann and Morgenstern required preference relations to be consistent. For example, suppose you said your preferences were: oranges are preferred to pears are preferred to apples are preferred to oranges. Your preferences are rather odd this time, because the fact that you prefer oranges to pears and pears to apples would lead to the conclusion that you preferred oranges above apples, when the opposite is in fact true. Your preferences are therefore inconsistent, making it impossible for an agent to make a good decision for you. The next step is to see that consistent preferences can be represented as numbers, called utilities. The larger the number, the more preferred the result. So, for the first example, we could say that the utility of an orange is 3, the utility of a pear is 2, and the utility of an apple is 1. Since 3 is bigger than 2, and 2 is bigger than 1, these utilities correctly capture our first preference relation. But this does not work when the preferences are inconsistent. The aim of using utility values to represent preferences is to reduce the problem of making the best choice to a mathematical calculation. Our agent chooses an action with the best result for us in what we call an optimization problem. But most choices are more complex than this because they involve uncertainty. Settings of choice under uncertainty deal with scenarios where actions have several possible results, and all we know about them is how likely they are to happen. Let's look at a scenario in which your agent has to make a choice between two actions. Choice 1. A coin is thrown. If it lands showing side A, your agent is given £4. If it shows side B, your agent is given £3. Choice 2. A coin is thrown. If it lands showing side A, your agent is given £6. If it shows side B, your agent is given nothing. Which choice should your agent make? Choice 1 is better, but why? We need to understand something called expected utility, the utility, or in this case, amount, that would be received on average from that scenario. For choice 1, we would expect sides A and B of the coin to appear on average an equal number of times. Half the time your agent would receive £4 and half the time it would receive £3. So the expected utility from choice 1 and the amount of money you would receive on average would be brackets 0.5 times £4, close brackets, plus brackets 0.5 times £3, close brackets, equals £3.50. Following the same reasoning, the expected utility of choice 2 is on average brackets 0.5 times £6, close brackets, plus brackets 0.5 times £0, close brackets, equals £3. Now, the basic idea in von Neumann and Morgenstern's theory says that a rational agent would choose to get the biggest expected utility, in this case, choice 1. This is despite the fact that you could get £6 if you chose 2. You would be just as likely to get nothing. Some people do not like the idea of reducing human choices to mathematical calculations, but this simply captures preferences in numbers, nothing more. By the 1990s, building agents that would act logically for us, according to this model, had become normal in AI, and still is today. From 2000 on, researchers began to wonder if software agents could talk to each other. The idea was not completely new, as back in the days of knowledge-based AI, researchers had developed languages that would allow expert systems to share knowledge and ask each other questions. But this new idea, multi-agent systems, was different in one important way. I want my agent to go out and do the best it can for me. You want your agent to go out and do the best it can for you. But my desires and preferences are probably not the same as yours, and so neither will those of our agents be. Our agents are going to need the kind of social abilities that we all use in the everyday world to interact with each other. The new challenge for AI was to build agents that had these capabilities. It seems odd now that these social aspects of AI had not been considered sooner, but before the development of multi-agent systems, researchers had been concentrating on developing individual agents without worrying about how they might interact with other AI agents. The possibility that there could be many agents rather than just one greatly changed the AI story. The problem an agent has to solve is that of knowing what action to perform for a user. But if there are many agents around, whether the action chosen by an agent is good or not will probably depend, at least in part, on what other agents choose to do. An agent should therefore consider what these other agents are likely to do when making its decision. This kind of reasoning had in fact been previously studied in the field of game theory, the part of economics that studies decision making. As the name suggests, game theory was originally developed from the study of games like chess and has applications everywhere that decisions are to be made in the presence of many agents. By the end of the 1990s, we built agents that considered our preferences, acted for us logically, and used the rational decision-making developed in expected utility theory. These agents used their understanding of the world, and if there were many agents, we looked to game theory to provide the basic shape for making decisions. It was not general AI, and it did not give any instructions for how to get to it. But by developing and accepting these tools, the AI world became a recognized scientific field, no longer searching in the dark. There were two important achievements in this period which supported this. The first made news around the world. In 1997, the company IBM was able to show that an AI system called Deep Blue could consistently beat Russian chess champion Garry Kasparov. Chess became a solved game for AI from this point on, thanks to two main ingredients: heuristic search, which we first heard about in Chapter 5, and enormous computer power, which some people argued was not AI at all. While you may well have heard about Deep Blue beating Kasparov, it is unlikely that you will have heard of the second big AI achievement of the time. NP-complete problems, which we also first heard about in Chapter 5, are problems that are very hard to find answers to. By the early 1990s, it was beginning to be clear that progress on algorithms for NP-complete problems meant that they were no longer such an obstacle to AI. The first problem shown to be NP-complete was called SAT, short for satisfiability. This is the problem of checking whether a simple logical expression is consistent, whether it could be true. SAT is the most basic of all NP-complete problems, but remember that if you solve just one problem, you could solve them all. By the end of the 1990s, SAT solvers, programs to solve SAT problems, were powerful enough that they began to be used on industrial-size problems. They are now regularly used in computing as another tool for dealing with NP-complete problems. This does not mean that they can always be solved efficiently, but it is an incredible achievement for AI.